Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John, Gospel of John, where we have spent quite a bit of time already, and we have come to chapter 14. I believe last week we were in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. By the way, congratulations to Elyria Christian School upon being able to play in the state championship, basketball state championship. Yesterday in Great Men, they lost, but it looked like they lost to a very good team, but they can be proud to have made it to the championship game, so our congratulations to them. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Now, last week we looked at some of these verses, and we talked about finding a cure for a troubled heart. And we find here a cure for a troubled heart, don't we? And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." It satisfies us. It's enough. And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Let's pray. Lord, bless our time in your word now. Speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen, that we might hear you speak to us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe as we asked this question last time, I'll ask it again, is there any more beloved passage in the Bible than this one? It is right up there with Psalm 23, giving us comfort, hope, and joy. The Lord is my shepherd. Let not your heart be troubled. They both are wonderful truths, and they are for you and me. You see, the disciples' hearts were troubled. They were agitated. They were worried because their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, kept talking about going away, about dying. And so he seeks to allay their fears and troubles by promising them that they will be reunited. They will be reunited. He was indeed going away, but he was going to be coming again for them. He was going to prepare a place for them, and he would receive them into that wonderful dwelling place. And if that weren't true, he would have told them. But it was true. It is true. And so because it is true, we can sing, "There is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air." There is going to be a meeting in the air. And Jesus said in verse 6, "I am the way. I am the way." Not just showing them the way, but he himself is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life. And to know the way, then, is to know him and believe on him. Jesus had just spoken to them the very comforting, encouraging truth for the last time that he's going to prepare a place, a room for them, and will come again and take them to be face to face with him. We talked about that last time, how this passage has the idea of they're not only going to be in a room, they're going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. So that where I am, there you may be also. And these disciples, like you and me, they don't deserve this. They do not deserve to go to this heavenly home that Christ is preparing. They can't work their way there or earn it. They can't get there on their own, but they're totally at the mercy of Jesus Christ, as you and I are. But where I am, he says, he graciously, lovingly says, where I am, there you may be also. And there you will be also. Guaranteed. Mark it down. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank of heaven. It's absolutely beyond comprehension and unbelievable and totally fantastic that you and I will somehow be with the King of Heaven. Who would have thunk it? Who would ever dreamed up something like that? That we could spend forever in a wonderful place called heaven with an amazing God as our God. Somehow we're going to be with the King in heaven. And he is King. He is Lord. He is God. And yet he stoops to invite you and me into his kingdom. And he will usher us into his kingdom, us poor, wretched sinners who are totally unworthy of such a high and holy calling. And we will be received into his kingdom by the King himself. Jesus Christ will be there to meet you and show you his glory and the glories of his kingdom. And we shall reign as kings. Revelation 1, verse 6 says, "And he hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." And then he says in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be an entrance. So an entrance in the heaven shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the perfect way, the absolute truth, and the eternal life. He says to his disciples in verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And the way you know. And John 8, you can turn there since you're in John. In John 8, 19, we read this. "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." And then chapter 10, verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, there is a thief and a robber." There's only one way. You can't get to heaven by some other way. Some other way. So in verse 4, he's telling them that they are welcome to come to the Father by means of this way. In verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way?" Now Thomas evidently was a spokesman for the disciples here, and he just spouts out maybe what they all were thinking. "We don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? How can we know the way when we don't even know where you're going?" And his comment reveals their slowness to understand, because they've not been paying attention. They should have known where he's going and the way for them to go. He has told them a number of times by now, and yet Thomas's question also reveals his devotion to his master. You see, he can't bear the thought that Jesus is leaving them. So he's objecting. No, you can't be going. And we don't know the way. How can we be expected to know the way when we don't even know the destination? Well, I don't know why this is true. Some say he may have mistakenly thought that Jesus was referring to his departure in death when he said, "Where I go, you know, and the way we go, you know." Or he imagined that the Lord was speaking about the way which he was about to take, whereas Jesus was actually referring to the way the disciples must take to reach their destination, as in chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If they're going to, no man comes, you're not going to come there but by me, and I am the way. I am leading the way. I am the way. What's clear is that he who doesn't know the destination is not going to know the way. Not going to know the way. We read in Isaiah 35, verse 8, "And a highway shall there be, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." Verse 10, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Talking about that day which is to come. "The ransom shall come with songs and everlasting joys." The way of holiness is the way we go. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." You see, there's another way to destruction. "And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it." Are you among the few? There's not going to be very many. But you can find that way. You can be there if you trust Christ as your Savior. He said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." So that of these three great words, the way, the truth, and the life, we are to regard the second and third as kind of explaining the first. In other words, they're not necessarily equal. They're not coordinate. But the first, "I am the way," is more general. And the other two show how the first comes to be true. In other words, it's like he's saying, "I am the way because I am the truth and the life. And since I'm the truth and the life, you can find the way. I am the way." Turn to John 13. John 13, verse 33. John 13, 33. Jesus said, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. And you will look to me just as I told the Jews, so tell I you now. And where I am going, you cannot come." Cannot come. That might have been a little different than we have here. "A little while I'm with you, and you shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews. And where I go, and you cannot come, so now I say to you." So now I say to you. And this prompted Peter to ask where he was going in verse 36. See, Peter and the others didn't understand that Jesus was speaking of his death and ascension to heaven. Jesus is saying he's going to die and he's going to be taken up into heaven. And Jesus' response was, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now," in verse 36, "but you will follow later." So Peter was still misunderstanding and declaring that he would follow Jesus anywhere and he would even lay down his life. Good old Peter, he can do anything. Bold, impetuous Peter. Verse 37. Peter said, "I'll lay down my life. I'll die for you if necessary." If necessary. And as Jesus patiently continued to teach his disciples, he began speaking more plainly about heaven and describing the place he was going to prepare for them in John 14, 2 and 3. And then Jesus said in verse 4, "You know the way. You know the way to the place where I am going." And speaking for others, Thomas said that they didn't know where he was going. So how could they know how to follow him there? It was in answer to this question that Jesus uttered one of his famous "I am" statements. I am. Now, where he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And he said, "I am" on a number of occasions, which we've looked at previously. "I am" is an intense way of referring to oneself. It would be comparable to saying, "I myself and only I am. I myself and only I am." Several other times in the Gospels we find Jesus using these words. In Matthew 22:32, Jesus quotes Exodus 3:6, where God uses the same intensive form to say, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. I am that God. And in John 8:58, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Making himself equal with God. In fact, the Jews clearly understood Jesus to be calling himself God or equal with God the Father, because they took up stones to stone him for committing blasphemy and making himself equal with God. And in Matthew 28:20, as Jesus gave the Great Commission, he gave it emphasis by saying, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world and end of the age. And when the soldiers came seeking Jesus in the garden the night before his crucifixion, he told them, I am he, as they came to apprehend him and arrest him and then take him to the cross. Jesus said the great I am word, I am he. And his words were so powerful that in John 18, verses 4 to 6, we read that the soldiers fell to the ground. Just when Jesus said, I am, they fell down backwards. And these words reflect the very name of God in Hebrew, Yahweh, which means to be, or the self-existing one. It is a name of power and authority. And Jesus claimed it as his own, making himself equal with God, because indeed Jesus was and is and forever shall be equal with God. We believe in the Trinity, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all are God. All are one in three persons. We believe that. He says, I am the way. The way. Notice he used the definite article. The word the is a definite article, I believe. He didn't say, I am a way. I am a way among many. No, I am the only way. And he is the only one. The only one. A way. I am the way. A way is a path or a route. And the disciples had expressed their confusion about where he was going and how they can follow. And as he told them from the beginning, Jesus was again telling them and us, follow me. Follow me. There's no other way. There's no other path to heaven. No other way to the Father. Peter reiterated the same truth years later to the rulers in Jerusalem, saying in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter saying there's no other name, no other way than the way of Jesus Christ. The exclusive nature of the only path to salvation is expressed in the words, I am the way. Now, many people think there are many ways, and there are many people that are very wrong, very misled, and headed the wrong way. So he says, I am the way, I am the truth. Again, Jesus used the definite article, the truth, to emphasize himself as the only truth. There is no other truth. He is the truth. If we want to know truth, we have to know Jesus Christ. I am the truth. Psalm 119:142 says, thy law is truth. Your law is truth. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminded his listeners of several points in the law. Like it has been said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then he would add, but I say unto you, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 and following. In the law it is said, but I say, and thereby he was equating himself with the law of God as the authoritative standard of righteousness. Jesus himself claimed to be in his person the authoritative standard of righteousness. In fact, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law and the prophets in Matthew 5:17. And Jesus, as the incarnate Word of God, was the source of all truth and is the source of all truth. He is God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God in John 1:1. So Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The life. Again, the definite article. Not a life, but the life. Only in Jesus can we find life. Eternal life and life now. We have life now because of Jesus. We have life now because he created us. Jesus has just been telling his disciples about his impending death, and now he was claiming to be the source of all life. In John 10, verses 17 and 18, you might want to turn there, John 10, 17 and 18, he declared that he was going to lay down his life for a sheep and then take it back again. He said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. And then there was a division again among the Jews for these sayings. So he was going to lay down his life and then for his sheep, and then take it back again. He spoke of his authority over life and death as being granted to him by the Father. In John 14, 19, he gave the promise that because I live, you will live also. And that includes you. You live, and you will live for all eternity because he lives. And he takes you to be with him. The deliverance he was about to provide was not a political one or a social deliverance, which most of the Jews were expecting. They were expecting the Messiah to come in and set up a political kingdom and rule over all of Israel. But it wasn't a political or social deliverance, but a true deliverance from the life of bondage to sin and death to a life of freedom and liberty from sin into all eternity. That's what he came for. And that's why he saved you and me. And so we're to stand fast in the liberty from sin wherewith Christ has made us free. In these words, Jesus was declaring himself as the great I am, the only path to heaven, the only true measure of righteousness, and the source of both physical and spiritual life. And again, one of the great I am statements, like I am the bread of life, I am the gate, I am the resurrection of the life, I am the true vine, I am that I am. All through John we find this. He is the very God who thundered from Mount Sinai, who said, I am that I am. And when he says I am, he's saying you aren't. You aren't. You aren't God. He is God. He is everything. We are nothing. He is holy. I am sinful. He is life and the giver of life. I am hopelessly lost and facing eternal death. He is good. I am as all humankind, not good. There is none good. No, not one. Where do you stand? And how do you stand before him, the great I am? He was staking his claim as the very God of creation. In Colossians 1:16, we read of Jesus, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. By him, speaking of Jesus, was everything created. He spoke and it was done. He was taking claim as the very God of creation, the Lord who blessed Abraham, and the Holy One who inhabits eternity. And he did this so the disciples wouldn't be able to face the dark days that lie ahead and carry on the mission of declaring the gospel to the world, to the known world at that time. And of course, we know from Scripture that they still didn't understand, and it took several visits from their risen Savior to shake them out of their disbelief. But once they understood the truths of his words, they became a changed people. and the world has never been the same. And if God's word and the truth of God's indwelling you and me would change me, then we would see the world around us, our little world, change, because we would be the light we should be. So how do we follow him today? Well, the same way the disciples did long ago. They heard the words of Jesus, and they believed them. I hear the word, I read the word, I hear it when I read the Bible, and I believe it, and I obey it. I obey it. They took his words and obeyed them. They confessed their sins to Jesus as their Lord and their God. They believed that he died to take the punishment of their sin, and that he rose from the dead to give them new life. And they followed his example and his command to tell others about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when we follow him the way, we can be sure of following him all the way to heaven itself, the glories of heaven, to where we will behold him. We heard Charlotte play that beautiful song, I shall behold him, we shall behold him, and we shall be face to face. I am the way, he says. He is the way to heaven, and that way is a way of truth and life, and he's the only way, and there is no other way, no other religion. All others, every one of them is false, and it's of Satan. Every cult, every false religion is indeed a false religion, and the only true one is the one you and I lay claim to, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. The religion of the Bible, the inspired word of God. Now, he is the only way, no other way. And this doesn't set well with the multitudes who believe there are many ways to heaven. And you and I have all talked to people. And they, oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I believe everybody's going to heaven. I believe there's a lot of ways to heaven. I talked to a neighbor some time back who said that. I believe in becoming at one with the universe, you know, and the cosmos. And I believe we're creatures of the cosmos, and we all will become one with the cosmos. And he just kept going on, and I just thought, I don't know what he is talking about. But he lost me way back there. And so it was an opportunity, though, to share, no, there's one way, one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, who so loved the cosmos that he gave his only begotten son. There's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, Acts 4:12. He became flesh and dwelt among us in order to make a way to approach the Father and enter into heaven. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him we have access. Through him who died on the cross, we know the way. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. And Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, speaking of the millennial kingdom, the way of holiness, speaking of heaven. Heaven is a way of holiness. Christ is the way. Christ is the way. He doesn't just show us the way. He is the way in his person. I don't understand that, but it's true. See, he is the way. And so to know him is to know the way to heaven. And it's to know I'll get to heaven guaranteed. I don't have to have any questions about it. It's done. He's sealed us by his Spirit. He's chosen us. He's redeemed us. He's predestined us. He's sanctified us. And all I did was believe. I just believed all of that. And I'm on my way because he is a way. John 5:24. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Condemnation? No, never. But it's passed from death to life. It's a wonderful passage, John 5:24. And all I do is I hear his word and believe. and I have everlasting life. And if it's everlasting life, that means it will never end. That means I will never lose it. Well, I should say, he will never lose me. If I can lose it, then it's not everlasting. God's a liar, but he's not a liar. It's everlasting. And he didn't say just life, but everlasting life. The pronoun I is all important. We are not saved by a principle or a force or an idea, but by a person. A person. I remember years ago when the movie Star Trek, I believe Star Trek came out, whenever that was, back in the 80s? No, 70s. Anyway, I remember I was working as a janitor at a Christian school in South Carolina when I was going to Bob Jr. University. And I drove the school bus, too, back then. One of the students got on, was getting off the bus, and as he got off, and that was the day that movie came out, and he said, "May the force be with you, Mr. Post." They called me Mr. Post. And I thought, what is that about? May the force be with you. So anyway, then I learned, oh, okay. No, it is not a force, an idea. It's a person. Access to the Father is by Jesus Christ himself. We are persons. You are a person. And the God from whom we have been separated is a personal God. And he offers salvation. He brings us back through his death on the cross. There is no salvation, no fellowship with God, no life of God apart from Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus is the way to God. He is the truth of redemption, of salvation. He is a revelation of God the Father. He has declared him truthfully. And the person called the truth is active. It takes hold of us and it changes us forever. He who is the truth takes hold of us with his truth. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the way to God. He's the revelation of, he is the way to God, he is the truth. Jesus is the life. He is the one who has life in himself. Chapter 5, verse 26. He is the resurrection and the life, the true God and eternal life. He is alive as opposed to death. We are death. You are death. And as soon as you were born, you began to die. The day you were born, you began your journey to death. But Jesus stepped in and changed your destination if you trusted him as Savior. Amazing. And he gave you life. He gave you his life. Eternal life. He gave that to you. You did nothing to earn it. You did not deserve it. It's by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourself, nothing in yourself, but it's a gift of God. He has the light. He is the light of life. In John 8:12, he has the words of life. John 6:6, he came that we might have life and abundance. John 10:10. And just as the earth is separation from God, so life is communion with him, fellowship with him. And now we enjoy that fellowship, that communion, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. I hope you know him. I hope you know him. If you don't, you need to get this figured out. And you better figure it out real quick, because you're going to die one day. And you die without knowing him as a way, it's going to be bad, really, really bad forever for you. You will suffer in hell forever. And it need not be, because he died on the cross to make a way. He is the way. He shed his blood that he might provide the way to heaven. And through faith in him, you'll receive Jesus Christ your Savior. You'll be on that way. And you'll be safe in his keeping, in his arms. Do you know him? Are you serving this one who is the way, the truth, and the life? Are you rejoicing in him, Christian? He gives us joy. We're to be happy. We talked about that last year. Put on a happy face, right? Put on a happy face. Well, a Christian should. A Christian should. And we have reason, not just be happy, but joy, joy, deep abiding joy in him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, beautiful passage full of promise and hope and joy and life. And thank you, Lord, that you have made it clear that you are the way. You are the only way to God the Father through your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. You are the truth and the life. There are many out there who claim to have the truth but are hopelessly lost and wandering in darkness because they have not Jesus Christ. And if they have not Christ, they do not have the truth and they do not know the way. Lord, help us to get on that way, that road to heaven and eternal life. And help us to be a light that others can find the way to heaven. So bless, Lord, as we close, we give this time to you, praying that you will bless and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.